Going back, of course, was a bit easier because we at least knew where, which way we were heading and where we were heading. We were very heavily loaded, of course, because we got not all the passengers, but I don't remember how many we got in the station wagon, but we were jammed tight. So we must have been, what, 3, 4, 5, 8 in the in each one. And then we got, what, cabin luggage, or whatever you call that, packed in as well as we can, plus the mail, which was also on the tailboard and also on the lash on the roof. So that we were heavily loaded vehicles, and we couldn't take any chances that we were going to break axles or even go tip off the tracks. I remember that there was one woman who was just sitting on the window side of the front seat. There was another fellow between me and the between me and the passenger, and she would talk. She was an American woman, and I discovered that she was with her husband on their honeymoon, and this was part of their honeymoon. And quite apart from hearing about where they came from, what it was like, what the wedding was like, what had happened at the wedding, and the newspaper reports on the wedding, it went on and on and on. And after a while, I suppose it'd be after the first hour or so, she was taking a breath, and she said to me, "I suppose you know why I'm talking." So I said, "Oh, yes." She said, "Well, why?" So I said, "Well, you're talking because you want to keep me awake. You're afraid I go to sleep." She said, "Oh, I didn't think you'd realise that, but then you're quite right. Yes, I did want to see you that you didn't fall asleep because you've had a long day, and it's terribly dark, and it's a big strain driving through this country in the dark." I said, "Yeah, well, this is the sort of thing that one has to put up with, you know, making light of it." And no sooner said that than I suddenly put the lights out and slammed the brakes on, and we pulled an emergency stop. And there was a few screams and mutters around in the car, and this American woman said, "Well, what did you do that for?" So I said, "Well, what, didn't you see them?" She said, "See what?" I said, "Well, there's a track of buffaloes crossing the direct track in front of us, and the last thing I want to do is get mixed up with buffaloes. Those are animals that scare me stiff." She said, "Oh, only buffaloes?" I said, "Yeah, only buffaloes, but quite honestly, I believe that they're the most dangerous animal there is in Africa." So she said, "Oh dear, I didn't see them." So I said, "Well, let's have a look now." She said, "Well, why do you put the lights out?" I said, "Well, because these animals at night time, they think of a light. If they don't smell it, because it's a fire, then it's a light, which is therefore dangerous. So they tend to charge on sight." "Oh, well," she says. So I switched on the headlights, and there was just the dust rising and the leaves falling around where they'd crossed across the track. And so we carried on. It was funny, though, after that, very noticeable, the conversational level was very, very much so had been before. So obviously she must have realised that I was still awake, despite the fact that she'd got very worried about me. We got into the Juba Hotel some very early hours of the morning, and the manager of the hotel organised things very well, and got the room sorted out and the places arranged, and the hotel servants sort of rallied round so there were people that were able to get baths and so on. And they went off to sleep the rest of the night. Well, not wasn't much left of the night. And then I sort of did my duty in the way of signalling what was going on, to advise my headquarters for them to pass it on to London. And I tried to try then, and of course, the job of checking the mail over that I'd got and what I hadn't got, so that I could report what was missing. And then I'm afraid I went and had a short, sharp sleep too.